Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study of Hebrews chapter 2, we were taught that contrary to the opinion of many secular people today, when we hear the gospel and choose to obey it, the consequences are our personal responsibility, not the pastor's. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, spiritual deterioration begins when Christians start neglecting this great salvation. Salvation is great in its cost and in its scope. The word salvation refers to itself and not the teaching concerning it. That is, how to be saved. Israel had types and shadows to illustrate salvation. For example, in John 5:39, we read, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." So, we're not just teaching concerning salvation. We're teaching salvation itself. That's the idea there. Now, with that candle alone to light them, the Scriptures, and eternal life, they were held accountable for neglecting it. You ever notice how people want to blame God as being unjust? They say, how could God send people to hell that have never one time heard the Word of God? And yet, every person in the world knew God at two different times in history. First in the day of Adam, and the next when Noah and his sons walked off the ark. The failure was not on God's part. The failure has been on man's part. It's been on man's part to hand it down to his children and his children's children. We are the ones that fail. God does not fail. Now let's think of a man that has a life-threatening disease. He's told to go home by the doctor and take medicine and stay in bed. He goes home, but he doesn't really like the medicine. Therefore, he neglects to take it, and he neglects to rest. He dies. Is the doctor to blame? No. The man has himself to blame. He had the medicine and the instructions. But as the secular singers say, I did it my way. And you try to go to heaven your way, my friend, you're going to go to hell. Here's a man that hates preachers. He hates church. He hates Christians. A wife gets him to come to church, and he hears the gospel. Oh, it seems terrible medicine. And he's madder than ever. He refuses to receive Jesus Christ, and he dies in his sin. Some people today fault the preacher and say, well, you know, he just didn't deliver that plan of salvation as nicely as he should have, as good as he could have. He failed in the delivery. He just didn't have the power, or he didn't do this right or do that right, or he was too arrogant, and there's a whole list of things. But we read in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, and this is the Lord, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Now, it's his iniquity, which speaks of his personal responsibility. But then he adds, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That speaks of the loss of reward. And you see, the Lord says, I'm going to hold the people of God responsible that don't share the gospel. Now, if we share the gospel and that man does not receive Christ as Savior and he gets mad or whatever else, we've shared it with him, then we don't lose reward. We'll have reward even though that person did not get saved. You see, presenting the way of salvation is not a sales job. It's not a psychological job. It's the reality of eternity. Taking the eternal truth of God's word and showing man his need. That's what it boils down to, my friend. Now notice the affirmation of this great salvation. Verse 3, we find that originally, at the first, it was spoken by the Lord. And then secondly, we see it was confirmed by those that heard him. And then we see, as we look at verse 4, that it was certified by miracles and signs by God. And those signs and miracles came through these men who went out to proclaim it. You see that in Mark 16:20, where it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Now, how would people know and how could they have faith that what they said was true and that they could stake eternity on it? Well, these men were doing signs and miracles, which basically said that this is the word of God they're preaching. This is God's word. And you've got to understand, they didn't have the written New Testament like you and I have today. And so to confirm that these men were preaching the truth, that this was from God, there were signs and wonders following. You see that again in Acts chapter 14, verse 3. "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." The Lord confirmed the word of God by signs and wonders through these guys that preached his word. Now, to the Jewish readers of the book of Hebrews, when he says, "It was confirmed unto us by the Lord," Greek word kurios, it was the same title used in the Greek Old Testament that they had in their day to refer to Jehovah of Israel. Now, that would have been the Septuagint. By the way, Septuagint was not an word of God that we would say this was definitely the right translated word of God. It wasn't. But, and a lot of times we attribute Jesus Christ and the apostles using it because they speak in Greek and they quote scriptures in Greek. We say, well, it obviously was from the Greek Septuagint. And that's not necessarily so, my friend. Many times they just quoted the Hebrew, but they put it in the Greek language. And so I'm just saying that the Greek here is kurios. It's a translation from the Hebrew into Greek. And that's what he's mentioning here in this place. He said, well, why are you pointing that out? Well, they knew, the Jew knew then, this claimed deity for the Lord Jesus Christ. And being delivered by him showed greater deliverance than the deliverance of the law. Now, when we get to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40, we'll see that the Lord is the Lord of those that were under the law that day and us in the church age of this day. But he'll make us both one. And you see that God hadn't provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. John 10:16 says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Well, this fold is Israel. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, too many people try to say, okay, Christians are going to be exalted above the Jew in heaven, and the Jew is secondary. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Lord here himself, the very words of Jesus Christ, is that he's taken both and making one fold. I got interested in somebody some time ago telling me about God the Father being Israel's husband and God the Son being the church's husband. Well, Now they were getting to making the Trinity, which is three divine personages in one divine essence, being two different essences then. And that just doesn't happen. So, again, let's understand he's making both one. Now, notice how verse 4 calls it signs. Signs are miracles with an ethical end and purpose. They indicate the power and grace of the doer and their connection with God. Now, one of the good things about the internet, as I go through this, if there's something you say, oh man, I want to write that down, he's still going on that, you can go back and replay the program off our website, and you can listen to it again until you get it all written down. You can pause it, reverse, and do it again. And that's the great thing of the internet. And I hope that you will have that, and you'll go to our website as we go along. Now let's continue here as we study. He says signs, and then we look at wonders. Now, wonders is not a different kind of class of miracles. Rather, they are regarded as startling and imposing. For example, the feeding of the 5,000 was a sign, but raising the dead was a wonder. Boy, that was startling. This is how the Bible was confirmed. God bore the apostles and prophets who wrote by signs, and he also used wonders. Now, sign gifts were to confirm God's word, not eliminate faith by miracles. For example, the devil sometimes makes you think, well, you need to look for a miracle. And God doesn't always choose to work by a miracle. But there are miracles that come. But these signs were to confirm the word of God. And it was not alleviating distress and suffering, but instead, it was proving the word of God. And so that's what's behind here as we look in verse 4. God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So these signs, these wonders, these diverse miracles, again, they're not out doing all these healings and taking care of everybody's distress and suffering, but rather they were just out there that sometimes when they did do healings and other great miracles, it was to prove the word of God. And so as they know this God, word of God is real, its teachings, its commands, these things that they were writing that would become New Testament scripture, if we neglect so great a salvation, not talking about the salvation of the soul, but the salvation you have after you receive Christ as Savior, don't neglect it. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.